It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The uncertainty with Broome, but I know Duke's probably, they're a little bit of a better team. They've played better in this tournament, but my reasons for picking Houston at the onset were I love how much experience they got. I love the way they play defense. I like their coach, and I just like veteran guards in the NCAA tournament. That's a narrative that's formed over the last decade. It's not that no teams have won with big men, but by and large, I trust veteran guards the most in the NCAA tournament. Now, Cooper Flagg's phenomenal. I don't think he's just going to freeze up and wilt on the big stage. But, yeah, that experience is an X factor for me with Houston. When they've gotten kind of the gritty moments in this tournament, they've delivered. And then they're coming off their best performance yet against Tennessee. So I haven't seen anything in the Elite Eight that makes me want to fade them as good as Duke has been. I think Florida does beat Auburn. So yeah, I'm sticking with my initial gut, which was Houston over Florida.
All right, Blake, we appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
Blake Topmeyer, senior national college football columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. Let's talk a little bit more about the Final Four and some other news of the day. We'll get into that when we come back on the list right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Tomorrow, over at the Bartlett location of Robert Irwin Jewelers, they're doing it again. They're having a six-hour, 60% off sale. It's the real deal. No marking up to mark down. Just a real 60% off sale. It starts at 10 a.m. and 60% off everything in the showcase. That means designer jewelry, engagement rings, bracelets, earrings, necklaces, gemstones, even name brand watches are 60% off. There's over 1,000 items to choose from. And you can also get special financing, like taking up to 6 months interest-free at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Again, it's this Saturday in store at the Robert Irwin Jewelers in Bartlett at the corner of Bartlett Boulevard and Stage Road right next to the Kroger, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. For complete details, see rijewelers.com. Let's get into the list. The Final Four. All right, Tim, so we haven't quite gotten into it, and I was thinking about this today, like with four number one seeds that I think almost everyone would agree, these have been the four best teams the entire year. I don't know why. Like, obviously, I'm excited to watch it because it's the Final Four, but I feel like this should probably be getting more consideration for the most anticipated Final Four of all time, but I just don't quite feel that yet.
Yeah, I don't know what to compare it to. I don't know what Final Four I've been more geeked up for. Probably the one we just saw with Duke in Coach K's final year. The fact that we got Duke UNC was kind of, wasn't it deemed the blue blood Final
Four? Yeah, because it was Carolina, Duke, Kansas, and Nova.
Yeah, I mean, That one got a lot of hype because it was the Coach K thing. It was Duke and UNC in the NCAA tournament, I believe, for the first and to this point only time ever. So I understood that. We've had a lot of hype for championship games.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I've kind of gotten to the point where I don't really care anymore. And what I mean by that is I like what I like. And I am really excited for this Final Four. Like, I'm a big college hoop guy, and I think this is going to be tremendous. And I think, I don't know if you hit on this in the open. I think the lack of excitement in many people's eyes has led to maybe the disinterest. I don't want to say disinterest, but lack of hype regarding this Final Four. Because we haven't had, we've had one buzzer beater. We had no Cinderella. And I feel like the no Cinderella, no Cinderella kind of led to this discussion of Cinderella's dead, NIL, all of this. I don't know.
The stuff that's not as fun.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
No, I think there's a few reasons.
And then you get the Kevin Willard situation, which I know that's closer to me just because of all my friends that went to Maryland and all of that. But like, that was kind of a bad taste in a lot of people's mouth that he was out there and then he leaves to go to Villanova. I don't know. I feel like, to your point, why there seems to be a lack of hype is because while I truly believe deep down people don't really care about Cinderella, but they like to say that they care about Cinderella. Like, oh, well, there's no Cinderella. It's dead. NIL ruining everything. I'm like, is it though? I don't know.
We like Cinderella when Cinderella beats coaches that we don't like. Like, for instance, like Gilkey was built in, like, he was perfect for March Madness because it beats Kentucky with Cal, and everyone that wants to bury Cal, it's like, oh, really, you're just going to keep manning up and letting him rub off a screen and shoot another three? Great job, Cal. Like, you know, you could have gone to a zone. Like, we like when Cinderella takes down kind of the villains of the sport, but I don't think do we really care that much? Like, when UMBC beats UVA, it's the shock of the 16-1. But, like, does anyone really feel that strongly back in 2018 about UVA? I felt kind of the same way, like, when FDU knocked off Purdue. Like, I think people were firing off their Matt Painter jokes. Like,
yep, because it was St. Peter's and then FDU back
in the years. Yeah, but, like, I think it's mainly when, you know, when Mercer beats Coach USA. Like, it's that's the Cinderella stuff. But I think you're 100% spot on. I actually would say, I think part of it also, though, is, you know, we held the opinion, all right, the first weekend was chalky. Like, okay, like, yeah, it wasn't the most fun first weekend ever, but usually that means we get a great Sweet 16 Elite Eight. It was an okay Sweet 16 Elite Eight, but it really wasn't, like, anything to write home about. And then I think there's a trepidation of, well, that means that we'll have an awesome Final Four. And it's like, well, what if we get two lackluster games? Like, I think that seems to be a little bit of hesitation as well.
Yeah, I do think if we take a step back, though, like, the Sweet 16 Elite Eight was pretty damn good. Like, you got to remember, we put, and I do it too. Like, I love this event. It's my favorite event in sports. The Thursday and Friday are my two favorite days of the year, and it wasn't as exciting as we've had in recent years. But if you think back to the Sweet 16, like, Arkansas-Texas Tech was incredible.
Bonkers.
Purdue and Houston was awesome. Texas Tech in Florida was phenomenal. Now, Sunday was a big old dud. Like, that was dud city.
And I think the problem is that's the last taste of our mouth.
Right. Like seeing, you know, Houston just be like, bully Tennessee, be like, no, get it. What are you doing? Come on. And even to that point, Alabama Duke was a game that I was like, yeah, here we go. And it was like, oh.
You knew like 2 minutes in, you're like, Alabama, oh, this is a problem.
Alabama's not going to make shots, and the 6'7 dudes aren't going to let 6-foot Mark Sears shoot threes. Like, you kind of knew that game was done from the jump. So Yeah, I mean, we missed out on certainly some greatness, but I think we do this. I don't remember what it was. It was like 10 or 11 years ago, and I was doing a show in D.C., and D.C., as you know, is not a college football town, and it was the night of the college championship, and I was like, does anyone care? And the phone lines lit up. They're like, nope, not at all. And I think that's what we kind of try to do sometimes, but I feel like this Final Four has pretty much everything we could ask for. We've got star power in Cooper Flagg and Broome and Clayton. We've got, I would say, not massive name coaches in the sense of a personality. We don't have a Patino. We don't have a Cal. But we still have Kelvin Sampson, who's been around forever. And you just heard Blake talk about where he has him rated. You've got a guy in Bruce Pearl that, you know, kind of has come back from, you know, being the evil one with his barbecue
cookout.
And then you've got two different coaches who are in their, you know, late 30s that are making the rise to, you know, the next step. So I'm pretty fired up for this Final Four, but I think your point is fair that it does feel like we don't have just that general juice around it. Now, can I ask this? If the Final Four was an ESPN product, would we feel more juice about it?
So it's interesting because I think ESPN has a tendency to overdo it. And yeah, go ahead.
I just want to jump in real quick. This is not a knock on CBS.
I want to
say this about CBS, and I am not an employee of CBS or ESPN. I think CBS, from specifically college basketball, I know you've got a couple guys on this network that do work for them. I think they do in a spectacular job. I think their CBS Sports Network show during the college basketball season is top notch. Obviously, Parrish and Norlander, their podcast, I think, is the best college basketball podcast out there. Like, I think they do an amazing job, but they're not the hype machine that ESPN is, and they don't have First Take on CBS Sports Network.
No, I knew exactly what you meant. I mean, in the end, ESPN programming is largely just marketing for their games. Like that, you know what I mean? And maybe this is a personal thing, I can find that ESPN at times can lean too hard into the hype machine to where it just kind of becomes off-putting. So I don't necessarily think that that's true, because I would also argue I enjoy Turner's presentation of games. And I know a lot of this is kind of CBS, like, I know it's a joint venture, but it largely gets presented more, I guess, CBS's product. But, like, I think TNT does a better job broadcasting an NBA game than ESPN does. Like, I enjoy TNT broadcast more. I think there's a few things at play. Number one, I do think there is a little bit of caution because the tournament has been, at the minimum, I think it's fair to say, it hasn't been that exciting. This is certainly not going to be remembered as an all-timer. Like, I know everyone wants to do the comparisons to the 08 tournament because we have the four number ones and it's in San Antonio. I still would argue this tournament feels way more to me like the year before, the 2007 tournament, where I remember that Florida won their second title, but that's about it.
2008 had Steph Curry.
It had Steph, and
they were the ultimate Cinderella.
It was a phenomenon, and he was unbelievable. There are things that I can remember from that.
Like, there is no, to your point, right? And that's a great point about the 2008, because Steph Curry was a three-pointer away from going to the Final Four and beating Kansas, who won, I know, sorry, Memphis people, who won the title.
Yeah, and just, like, to me, it was it's like that last one. But I think there's also this aspect. I don't think there's like a casual rooting interest one way or the other. Like, for instance, even with Duke, like, if Duke is with Coach K, you're either, you know, blindly following the cult of K, or you're a Duke hater and it gave you something to root for. Whereas, you know, all four of these teams, they deserve to be here. They've been great all season. But, like, if I say you and I can't bet it and you just have to root, well, you're like, well, what helps my bracket? Or you don't have a real strong feeling one way or the other. I think most people probably would say, I'd like to see Kelvin Sampson win one if it didn't affect me one way or the other. But I don't think anyone feels all that strongly just coming into it.
No, I think that's, yeah, because there's no, we don't have a villain from a college player standpoint, right? We don't have a villain from a coach. I guess you could say Todd Golden if you want.
Yeah, but like, I think that's the other thing. It's like, if you want to say he's a villain, I have no problem with it. But I think the problem is, how many people that are casually watching this tournament like know what has actually happened?
None.
It feels to me like not very many, because it's not really been a discussion point. It
has not been brought up really whatsoever.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I thought there was a question asked, and this is more of a talking point, but like, if Duke were to lose either Saturday or Monday, would they go down in that all-time team that not win a title?
So in like the Fab Five
Fab
mold?
Five, 91 UNLV, who was undefeated, 2015 Kentucky, who was undefeated. I still contend that the 99 Duke team was
the one with Trajan.
Trajan was a senior. Elton Brand was a sophomore. Corey Maggette was a freshman.
That team lost to UConn, right?
They lost to UConn in the championship, Khalid El-Amin. They had one loss. They were the first team ever to run the table in the ACC. They just destroyed everybody. And then they lost in the championship. So I don't know. Is it Duke? Is Duke looked at it as an all-time team? Or, the ACC was down this year. They only lost one game in conference play, but it was still kind of like, eh. I don't know. I wonder if Duke is looked at in that pantheon of teams. And maybe over time, they get looked on more, kind of like the 2019 Duke team does. Was like, how the hell did they not go to the Final Four with Zion and RJ Barrett and Cam Reddish, right? Like, if Cooper Flagg becomes like a top five player in the NBA and they don't win this title, are they looked at like, wow, how did that team not win a national championship?
I'm going to say no, because they had three losses. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, normally when we do the can you believe this team didn't win, I think what we'll look back on is go, man, that team should have won. But I don't know if it'll be like in the Fab Five, the undefeated Kentucky team.
Well, the Michigan team, it's worth noting, I think they got, because they made the championship in 92, where they were kind of ahead of schedule, I think they were a six seed, and they made it, and they got smoked by Duke. They led at the half, and then Duke blew them out in the second half. But because it was this kind of coronation of the Fab Five, and they were like, they have to win a title. This is the most – they lost five games that year. I mean, they were preseason number one, but I'm looking at their basketball reference. They were actually not the number one team in the country from December on.
Yeah, I think that's fair to point out.
I think the 91 UNLV team was a freight train. Like,
yeah, that
won the title in 90, beat the living daylights out of everyone, and then got knocked off by Duke in the semis, in the Final Four, and that was a pretty big stunner, because the year prior, they had beaten Duke by 30 in the national title. I think the 15 Kentucky team is a team where, and I'm sure... I don't know. Once again, I don't know how Memphis thinks of Cal. I'm so curious about it.
A lot of time's gone on. You know what I mean? Like, there's still people that feel a certain way. But
like, if Cal, and I think I'm stealing this from someone, so I don't know who, but maybe it was Parrish. But if Cal just played his best five instead of like trying to make everyone happy, because that was like the line shift team, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that like
that was they had the two starting fives.
Right, and they should have lost to Notre Dame, and I'm still not over that game, because Notre Dame completely crapped their pants in the Elite Eight at the end of that one. But then you had just this awesome Wisconsin team. It was like, we can beat you guys, and they did.
Yeah, there's also something about, even though I hear you on the 91 UNLV team, it's like, because they won the year before, it almost doesn't get held against them. I do think part of what makes it difficult to assess, it's like every team now, every school feels like it's year to year. And I think the way that I would look back is if Duke weren't to win, I'd sit there and go, I bet John Shire's going to kick himself, because it's like, sure, that was a chance. Because, you know, that was the thing that always, you know, ate at Krzyzewski, is he felt like there were teams that should have won national titles and didn't. And it's like, just if he doesn't win this one, it's not going to be a narrative, but it can start the narrative of, I don't know if he can win the big one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that thing definitely seeps into a lot of coaches. Yeah, I would say, I don't know. I think the casual fan that knows a little something about college hoops, not just like a blind,
not just a tournament watcher,
right? Like, knows it a decent amount, like kind of knows the coaches, knows Cooper Flag, knows Broome,
knows the characters. Yeah,
I would agree. I think if they had no dog in the fight, no betting interest, your bracket is blown up, whatever, I think people would pick Houston. That's a blind guess. That's who I would pick if I were, had nothing wrapped up from a gambling standpoint or a bracket standpoint, I would want Kelvin Sampson to get a title.
So we all agreed that Kelvin would be, if we were ranking the coaches, Kelvin would be the number one. How would you fill out the rest?
It's really hard because Pearl's been there. It was, what, 19, they made that kind of magical run with Auburn, right? I remember.
Yeah, they beat UNC, Kentucky, and maybe Kansas in the same tournament.
I remember it was Duke, Virginia Tech in D.C. It was a great Sweet 16 game. And at the same time, Auburn had beaten North Carolina, and like,
I know they beat Kentucky and UNC.
Yeah,
so I want to say maybe they beat Kansas in that run too.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. They were the 5 seed. They beat New Mexico State. I think, was that Chris Jans?
Yes, that is Chris Jans.
Beat them 78-77. So they snuck past their first round opponent, and then they smoked Kansas. Then they beat North Carolina. Then they beat Kentucky in overtime to get to the Final Four.
Yeah, because I think the stat that Pearl would trot out was the first team to ever beat Kentucky, North Carolina, and Kansas in the same tournament. To which I would also say, like, that feels pretty selective, but at the same time, I'm not going to act like it wasn't impressive. But, I mean, remember, that was the game where the Virginia game ends on free throws, and, like, I think it's fair to say there's nothing that Bruce Pearl's going to see that he hasn't seen before.
Tell you what, man, looking back, the 2019 tournament was pretty awesome.
It ends with a bad taste in your mouth. The Culver gets the ball taken away from him because it was a foul and they didn't call it.
Right.
It was like an even though it went to overtime, it was a very unsatisfying ending.
So to rank them, I would go Sampson 1. Man, I don't.
It's tough to rank.
I want to put Pearl 2 because of the experience, but like, I've also seen,
I don't think he's the best in-game coach.
I think Golden is really impressive. You know, I give him a lot of credit for, maybe I'm giving him too much credit, but like the fouling with 3 minutes to go on the 1-and-1s to force him to make the free throws, it worked out. It could have not worked. I think Golden's got some, you know, new age type of thinking to him. And I do wonder if John Shire gets a little bit of the old, well, of course he's going to win. He's got the best players out there. But, you know, they won the ACC championship without Cooper Flagg.
For much of the year, he had not his point guard.
Right. So, and they kind of still don't have a point guard. They're kind of a, you know, I mean, they have Cooper Flagg, they have Knipple, they have Malawach, but, you know, I give him credit. I think we talked about this yesterday of how he constructed this roster around, you know, look, they could have gone out. They could have got Nellie Davis. They could have got, you know, players like that. But they're like, all right, we got these 3 superstars that are freshmen, and let's go on and get unique pieces that can kind of fit around them that maybe don't have big egos or whatever it may be. So I guess I would go Sampson, Pearl, Golden Shire, but I'm not really confident in that. And I think it's kind of splitting hairs because I think they're all relatively good coaches.
No, I think you can realistically rank it in just about any order, and I think there's a case for it. I think I would go, because the other problem is, like, we oftentimes, like, when we see the coaches get into the high leverage situation and we see their decision making, that kind of shapes how we think about them. But like you said, Golden was kind of in a high leverage situation last week with Texas Tech, but at the same time, you could also be like, well, what were you doing farting around and letting that game get out of hand in the way that it did?
Why have you gotten off to these slow starts?
Because I 100% agree with your point. If you want to criticize Auburn, you better criticize Florida too, because their tournament performance, in my opinion, has mirrored each other.
Yeah, I mean, two things, and I'm not trying to, like, you know, crap on the casual fan, but a buddy of mine who doesn't watch college basketball until the tournament, you know, texted me today and was like, Florida and Georgia are definitely going to win, or Florida and Duke are definitely going to win, right? I'm like, I don't know. And he was like, I like Houston to cover, and I could see them winning. He's like, well, Houston has to be able to score with Duke. And I'm like, they just put up 81 on Gonzaga.
Yeah, people are making the mistake of thinking this is the same Houston team that we see every single year. And I do also think, to a certain degree, last Sunday's performance, like, I think Houston could have pushed the issue more than they did offensively, but you could basically tell, it's like, once they got to the half, they were just like, we are not going to make any mistakes offensively, and we're just going to suck the life out of them. And so you weren't left going, oh, this team offensively is different. But it's like, if you've watched them this year, you know this team's different offensively.
And I think Auburn is not getting enough credit for finally eliminating those frauds from Ann Arbor. But, like, down 48-39, they turned it on, man. And it was like, whoa, here it is. Here's February Auburn. So, look, I think there's a lot of intrigue. Could it be chalk? Of course. Like, Florida's really good. Duke's maybe the best team we've seen in a handful of years. But, you know, when I went back and I looked up Houston from a point spread standpoint, it's pretty wild to note that they haven't been a 5-point underdog since 2021. Now, it is also worth noting, when they were that 5-point underdog,
yeah,
Baylor smashed them. But Baylor, the Final Four.
But I mean, I don't remember how you bet that game, but I had Gonzaga in the title game. And that,
I think I had a future on Gonzaga, and about 2 minutes in, I'm like,
I had the same thing. I was like, I got to get out of this. I was like, this is a different level of athlete on this side. All right, I got maybe a hot take for you.
Ooh, I like it. Give it to me.
You know another problem I have with the Final Four? I think the Alamo Dome's a crappy venue.
Ooh, explain.
So I'm not doing the Charles Barkley San Antonio. So before, I was like, you're from Memphis, whatever. No, the Alamo Dome is a cooler name than venue, but it just reminds me of, as a stadium nerd, like, it's just like the cookie cutter dome from the 90s. There's no features that are cool, but the name, you hear Alamo Dome, it's a great name, but the venue, you look at the venue on TV and you're like, I know what that place smells like. You know, it's kind of got that musty smell, whatnot. I know they've renovated a little bit, but it's like, when you have a renovation and I can't tell that you renovated it, did you really have a renovation? And I just think back to, it's like, it just doesn't strike me as, like, one of the great venues where you're like, ooh, this is cool. And, like, we haven't been there since, the last time we were there was Nova 18. So I think that's when they beat Michigan. That was the first time that they did the full stadium thing. I just think of all the Final Four venues, like, in the Rota, it's the one that I'm like, no, thank you.
I've been there once. It was 2009. It was for a football game, and I definitely came away being like, eh. I do think, as a Final Four city, and I've yet to go to a Final Four. I do want to get to a Final Four. I do think as a Final Four city, it's pretty solid because they have a place where everyone's going to congregate on the Riverwalk. And from my recollection, I enjoyed my time on the Riverwalk. So I think it's a pretty good Final Four city, but I will not push back on your.
So that got me looking at the all right, what's the upcoming?
Can I also give you a hot take?
Yep, go for it.
All Final Four venues kind of suck.
Well, it is the.
I just don't like the stadium thing. I know why you do it, and I
right.
I'm not a dope. It's like when we talk about television money. I get it. You want 77,000 people in there to watch a basketball game. Why wouldn't you? More money. But like the Sweet 16 in Atlanta, when Auburn went on that run, that's what it's about. Being loud.
It's why I don't understand when. Did they really sell that many more tickets at Lucas Oil than they would have at the...
Well, you know the reason why.
Was it booked?
It was the Indiana State basketball championship.
Because my whole thing is, like, why not just play it in the arena? Like,
they normally do, but from my understanding, it was the state championships for Indiana high school hoops.
Because here are the upcoming ones. We see Lucas Oil so much that even though... Like, I think Lucas Oil, I think Indianapolis gets the same thing that we're talking about with San Antonio. While it's not, like, the most incredible venue, Indianapolis is a very good host city. Like, they it's organized very well. Like,
they know how to do it.
Correct. And obviously, the NCAA is located there, so they're going to do it as much as possible. We're going to Ford Field again. I don't think we've done that since, like, was it maybe Hansborough's? Like, we haven't been there in a while. They've done a big renovation. Then we go to Allegiant.
Yeah, baby.
I'm excited for anything, like, woo-hoo. Anything in Allegiant.
Yeah.
Back to Lucas Oil.
I don't know if Allegiant's ever held a basketball game. Because we had the Sweet 16. It was,
right, at T-Mobile.
It was UConn's coronation, first go-round.
Anything at Allegiant I get excited about. And then
WrestleMania in a couple weeks.
I daggum right. We got the road to WrestleMania, baby. Don't forget to point at the sign. Back to Lucas Oil. Then we're going to Jerry's World. I feel like this was the other thing I was thinking of. Is it a little surprising Jerry's only tried to get one Super Bowl?
Yes.
That's weird to me. It's like I would figure he'd want all of those. Then we go to Mercedes-Benz.
I've only had one Jerry's World.
Yeah, too. It's the Rogers one. And then I assume Nashville's going to try to get involved after that with their new stadium and whatnot. But, like, there's just something about the Alamo Dome where I'm just like, eh. But I am with you. I think the problem is when you try to make the basketball arena in a football stadium, it's just one of those things that's like our mind says, like, that's not meant for basketball. Like, it just doesn't, there's something about it that doesn't look right. Even though, like, I think they do a pretty good job, but it's like, I don't know, man. Like, this, you can just tell. It's like they just filled up, like, 140 yards with a basketball court.
Man, I got to wait till 2028 until it comes out here, though.
Yeah.
Man, I was thinking we'd get it
soon. Well, I got to make sure we get Indianapolis some more. All right, yeah. Let's talk about it from the gambling perspective. Let's do that next, right here on Jeff Wright & Company, 92.9 FM.
Yeah. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
ESPN. Our friends over at Zen Sports have an exclusive offer for another hour. It's the VIP Play Live Stream Flash Boost. You can make any three qualifying bets for a minimum of $25. If the first of the three bets that you place hits, you can earn a 20% profit boost up to $100 if the first bet wins. Qualifying bets must be made between now and 4:30 Central, and all three bets must be wagered in the exact amount to qualify. You can do markets such as spread, money line, total points, parlays. You can bet NBA, NHL, college basketball, spring training. It's all right there at Zen Sports, but you can only do it during the next hour. So head on over to the Zen Sports app to take advantage right now. Also, the odds on any qualifying bet must not be under minus 200. So that means minus 199 does qualify, minus 201 does not. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions do apply. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Odds are subject to change. Only accounts in good standing, i.e. are not involved in wash betting as deemed by Zen Sports or otherwise in violation of house or other rules, are eligible for the contest. Again, problem gambling, sport, call 1-800-889-9789. All right, Tim, I hate to say it. I might just be like, maybe this is going to be wrong. Maybe this is one of those thoughts. I just think with all four of these teams all being pretty even, I kind of like the dogs, and I can't explain it.
I'm with you, man. I think Auburn is getting a little overlooked. Obviously, we talked to Blake earlier in the show, and the health of Broome is certainly worth it. But there are two things that jump out to me about both these two games from a gambling standpoint. Number one is the Auburn-Florida previous meeting. And it's worth noting that when you look at a result, and that doesn't mean that the line was wrong, right?
Right.
And I think that's something that people have a hard time understanding. And look, I'm not any genius. It's just like the Super Bowl line for Chiefs and Eagles was not wrong. The Eagles just beat the crap out of the Chiefs. But if they played it again the next day, the line might move a point or two. But like, it's not going to overreact. And I bring that up to say this. On February 8th, Auburn and Florida played at Auburn. So you get home court advantage. Auburn was playing better at the time. And Florida didn't have Elijah Martin. All that being said, the point spread of that game was Auburn minus 11.
Yeah.
And now they're a 2.5-point underdog. And from my understanding, if they had played, like, let's say in the Sweet 16, it would have been like 3.5 or 4. Like, there has been a little bit of market correction here, but it just feels like to me, like, in February, and teams change and Florida's gotten better, and I totally respect that, but in February, it felt like this Auburn team was this juggernaut, this behemoth, and to the point that we've made, I think, throughout the show, which is like, yeah, Auburn has looked a little vulnerable. Florida's looked more vulnerable. Florida should have lost in the Elite Eight, and they were very much tested in the second round against UConn. So at the price that it's at, and you might get a three, a couple threes have popped here, I think I'm going to be in on Auburn. And I'll say this too, the two things I have bet in the game, and God, this is going to be really painful, first half under and full game under. I went under 76.5 in the first half, and I went under 160 for the full game. These two offenses are really good, man, but their defenses are also really good. You got to remember, all four teams are top 10 in offense, but they're also all top 10 in defense. And the game was 91 back in February. That was played in an arena. The total was 155. Now we're being played in a football stadium, and the total's 160. I played a little under as well, and I'm probably going to hate myself for it.
Yeah, I don't ever hate in the football stadium venues. I don't ever hate going under, just because, especially
the familiarity too, nerves, all of that. Like, everything's kind of
Final Four. You know what I mean? Like, I don't ever hate that, just because depth perception is going to be off. I don't know. Like, to me, the only thing I am a little concerned about, you got the ticket information?
Yeah, I got it for you.
All right, what are we showing on Auburn right now?
So this is DraftKings. Right now, DraftKings has 64% of tickets, 71% of handle on Florida.
Okay, so that doesn't...
Almost a dead split on the total.
Now, almost everyone would... Okay, so you would look at it and say, well, that could also indicate there's some sharp money because there's more money than tickets. But that doesn't scare me as much. Here's what I do think scares me. Is Houston too trendy?
So it's a fair question to ask, but I'll point this out. And I run into this a lot at VSiN, right? Because, you know, a lot of us think alike. I did this, you know, podcast in town on, I think it was Wednesday. And me and the two other hosts picked Houston to cover. And I'm like, oh, that's not great. But when you run kind of in the
gambling circles of
gambling
you.
Circle, a lot of people think similarly. And I think there's a lot of belief because Ken Pom's 2 and the market's 5. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. Right now, the betting splits, 66% of bets on Duke, 69% of the money is on Duke. And I think only is that is only going to go higher. You know, I was texting with an odds maker here in town, and he said, we definitely need some puppy love.
Yeah, because I also saw Seamus, who runs BetMGM, the book for BetMGM. Seamus said, we don't care which one, but we do need a dog to win.
Yeah.
Because I also took...
Money line parlays.
I assume those have been
flowing.
Those are going to be... Because I could imagine you could do it for plus, right?
Well, I mean, and if you want to get crazy, why not throw in UConn tonight? Throw in South Carolina tonight? Let's load it all up, baby. It's easy. South Carolina women to UConn women to Duke men, and then throw in a little Florida men. Bada bing, bada boom. We're rich. Right now, if you want to do a money line parlay,
I'm looking at, I got
DraftKings, it is going to come out at plus 129.
So I would presume that's the other, and it seems to me where people have made a killing during the tournament is money line parlays with favorites.
Oh yeah, big time. And I mean, they didn't lose over the weekend.
No, I mean, you could have parlayed every single favorite.
You could have done all 12 favorites this past weekend, and you would have won.
Yeah, I mean,
that's bad for the books. I'll say this. I do think both dogs are live. If you made me pick, you know, for my life, I would say probably Auburn just because they're a shorter underdog. I would be surprised come Saturday night if both Florida and Duke won. And we said it last week on the show, right? I forget, we were previewing the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
I was like, I would be surprised if the favorites lost, and they didn't. I would be surprised if both Florida and Duke won.
I feel like these games, in a weird way, kind of mirror each other, where I think there's clearly a deeper, more talented team against the grizzled, veteran, experienced team. Like, I know Clayton is older, but it's like that, in general, their team is younger, whereas Auburn is like 27. And the same thing kind of applies. Like, you've got three freshmen with Duke, and then you've got the homegrown, grizzled Houston team. Like, I feel like these games kind of mirror each other.
Yeah, I think that's fair. By the way, you mentioned BetMGM, so you referenced the Seamus McGee quote from, I believe, John Ewing usually puts that out. Also worth noting, from a popularity standpoint of Final Four bets at BetMGM, number one, Duke -5.5. Number two, Duke -275. Number three, Florida -2.5. Number four, Florida -150. And then it's number five is Duke Houston over, and number six is Florida Auburn under.
What was the total again with Duke? So it's at 130. I see Circus showing 137. There's a few 136.5s.
Oh, total for that game?
Yeah.
137, 136.5, somewhere in that ballpark. I don't know. Initially, I was thinking under, but I could see Houston scoring. I do think, how much does this compare to last year, where it was an absolute slog? Now, Jamal Shedd got hurt and changed everything, and this Duke team is much, much better than last year's Duke team.
Yes, the shooting for both teams has increased exponentially.
But last year, Duke Houston had 56 possessions. That's wild, wildly low. For example, the Duke-Alabama game had 73 possessions. But Duke is a team that is willing to kind of let you dictate the pace, because I think they are comfortable playing whatever.
No, I agree. And I think Florida actually is kind of the same way. Like, Florida in that Maryland first half, they were kind of okay playing it slow.
Yeah. I mean, Florida's the number two most efficient offense in the country. Like, Florida's offense is tremendous.
I think it helps when you have two monsters. Like, I feel like when you look at efficient offenses, like when you got two monsters that you can just rebound every miss, I feel like that helps you out.
Yeah, I'd be curious to, you know, Houston's not full on Texas A&M where they just want to slam it off the backboard.
Yeah, the first shot is a pass.
But they are number 11 in the country in offensive rebound rate, and Duke is pretty strong at keeping their opposition off of the offensive glass, so that's going to be a fun kind of thing to see how it plays out there.
I know I said it to you earlier in the week. I still feel like if I'm going to go the path that I think I am, which is I'm just going to take Houston, I feel like I'm going to know in the first like 3 minutes if it's going to be live or not, because if it comes out with a tight whistle, that's when I don't like Houston in that scenario.
That's fair.
Because that's the other, I feel like the other story for like Duke is, man, they have been rock solid at the free throw line.
Yeah.
Are you going to dip your toe in any props?
I'm not a big prop
I've never
guy.
Been.
And I know
there's probably like, money to be made, but like,
yeah, no, there are. And there are a lot of smart people out there who do props and handicap it extremely well. I just always feel like when I dip my toe into the prop market is when I get burned. And I kind of did it in the college football playoff because I felt like I knew Notre Dame pretty well, and I knew their strengths, I knew their weaknesses. So like Will Howard rushing yards in the championship was something I liked, but I also kind of got too cute and I played like Bo Collins under his receiving yards because he had been hurt like really heavy, and he ended up with like 17 and went over. I was like, damn it. So I don't usually mess with him. Famous last words, who knows if I'll dabble a little bit, but I don't tend to get involved. But if you do know someone out there who is good at it, I mean, I agree with you. I think that is a softer market than trying to attack these point spreads.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we tell your story next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 99 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, for today's Don't Tell The Story, tell your story. I got to go to Tracy McGrady appearing on the OBL podcast. He said that LeBron would get crushed in one-on-one against other NBA players. Quote, his game is naturally built for five-on-five. He's not a one-on-one player. Kobe's a one-on-one basketball player. Kyrie's a one-on-one basketball player. James Harden, these guys are one-on-one basketball players, and LeBron can't do anything with that. How does the 6'9", 275-pound guy not just back all those guys down and bully them and just score every time?
Like he does in the NBA.
Right. I love T-Mac. Most underrated shoe of our lifetime. But like,
I had some T-Macs.
That's just, oh, God. There's, I guess that's the new, that's going to be the, instead of comparing eras, who'd win one-on-one, I guess that's going to be what we're talking about until the playoffs start.
Sure. Why not?
Why not? All right, my man, let's go win some bets.
Let's hope so, baby.
Let's break even. Let's just come out even. All right, man, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you, dude.
That is Tim Murray. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. Want to thank Blake Topmeyer for joining the program as well. For George, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.